C3 Radio aus dem Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung. Am 23. November 2023 wurde im C3-Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung der Global Education Monitoring Report, kurz GEM Report, präsentiert. Er trägt den Titel Technologie in der Bildung, ein Werkzeug, zu wessen Bedingungen? In der heutigen Ausgabe von C3 Radio berichten wir darüber. Es begrüßt Sie Jürgen Planck. Der Hintergrund zum aktuellen GEM Report. Das Ziel 4 der nachhaltigen Entwicklungsziele der UNO, kurz SDGs, strebt nachhaltige, hochwertige Bildung und lebenslanges Lernen für alle an. Technologien spielen für die Erreichung des SDG 4 eine wesentliche Rolle. Während der Covid-19-Pandemie wurde das enorme Potenzial, aber auch das Risiko von Technologieeinsatz im Bildungswesen deutlich. Damit befasst sich der aktuelle Global Education Monitoring Report. In seinen Schlüsselaussagen ruft der Weltbildungsbericht die nationalen Regierungen dazu auf, mögliche Formen, Potenziale, Folgen und Gefahren von Technologieanwendungen im Bildungswesen zu analysieren, abzuwägen und entsprechende Regulierungsmaßnahmen zu entwickeln. Technologien müssten bessere Lernerfahrungen und gesteigertes Wohlbefinden von Schülerinnen und Lehrkräften ermöglichen. Denn Online-Verbindungen sind kein Ersatz für menschliche Interaktion. An erster Stelle müssen weiterhin die Bedürfnisse der Lernenden und die Unterstützung der Lehrkräfte stehen. Der GEM-Report untersucht die Herausforderungen im Bildungsbereich im Kontext mit dem Einsatz von Technologien. Dazu zählen Zugang, Gleichberechtigung und Inklusion, Qualität, technologischer Fortschritt und Systemmanagement. Gleichzeitig betont der Bericht, dass viele der vorgeschlagenen Lösungen auch nachteilig sein können. Wesentlich ist der gleichberechtigte Zugang zu Technologie, entsprechende Regulierungen und die adäquate Aus- und Weiterbildung der Lehrkräfte. Francesca Entrizzi ist Teil des Forschungsteams des GEM Reports und hat diesen in Wien präsentiert.
Ich bin Francesca Entrizzi, ich bin Analystin für das Forschungsteam des GEM Reports oder des Weltbildungsberichts. Also ich trage zu thematischen Analysen bei und zuvor habe ich für das Institut für internationale Entwicklung des Deutschen Volkshochschulverbandes gearbeitet, also im Bereich Erwachsenen- und Berufsbildung. Jetzt koordiniere ich auch für den GEM Report die regionale Berichten. Und vor dem 2023 GEM Report habe ich einen Abschnitt über die Rolle der Bildung bei der Entwicklung Technologie geschrieben.
Der GEM Report 23 trägt ja den Titel Technology in Education, a Tool on Whose Terms. Welche Multiplikatoren werden denn mit dieser Frage angesprochen?
Ja, also der Titel, glaube ich, ist schon klar. Technologie, ein Werkzeug, zu wessen Bedingungen? Also Technologie ist also ein Mittel, also ein Werkzeug. Und wir glauben, dass die Bildungssysteme die Interesse der Lernenden in den Mittelpunkt stellen sollen.
Es gab von der UNESCO eine Presseaussendung, die hat den Satz beinhaltet: Urgent call for appropriate use of technology in education. Was wäre denn so ein appropriate use?
Ja, das ist Teil unserer Empfehlungen. Als Fazit des Berichts kann man sagen, dass die Technologie in der Bildung soll relevant, also für den Kontext sein, chancengerechtigt, skalierbar und nachhaltig. Also das sind alle die Bedingungen, die getroffen sein sollten, um die Technologie also in der Bildung und im Unterricht einzusetzen.
Gerade während der Corona-Pandemie ist Unterricht, also in Europa sehr stark, aber auch in Ländern wie Indonesien, kann ich mich erinnern, doch verstärkt online gegangen. Was ist denn ein Learning aus dieser Zeit, die ja so speziell war und wo vielleicht sogar manche Schüler, manche Studenten haben ihre erste Zeit in der Institution, in der Bildungsinstitution online verbracht? Mhm. Also was sind da vielleicht Learnings aus dieser ganz speziellen Phase?
Die Corona-Pandemie war ein großes Experiment am Ende. Also wir haben schon auch in dem Bericht gefunden, dass Technologie in der Bildung sehr hilfreich sein, wenn es zu Krisensituationen kommt. Und wie zum Beispiel bei Corona. Während Corona war es auch möglich, Fernunterricht einzusetzen. Es gab auch ein Potenzial, über 1 Milliarde Lernenden zu erreichen, aber in der Wirklichkeit war es nicht so, also nur 31% der Lernenden eigentlich erreichbar waren. Und wenn wir besonders die ärmsten Lernenden in Betracht ziehen, das waren nur 72%. Das ist sehr klar. Also es gibt ein Potenzial, also aber wenn es gab auch Herausforderungen, wie zum Beispiel Zugang zu einer stabilen Internetverbindung oder Zugang zu geeigneten Devices. Und das war nicht immer möglich. Also die Gefahr ist es, dass die Ärmsten oder die Lernenden, die schon benachteiligt sind, noch mehr marginalisiert werden.
Sagt Francesca Endrizzi. Genau wie sie arbeitet Nafisa Babu für Licht für die Welt. Sie ist Expertin für inklusive Bildung und hat in den letzten Jahren für den GEM Report den Blick auf Menschen mit Behinderungen gerichtet.
So I've been involved with the GEM team for quite a while. It started when I just joined Life for the World about a decade ago, when I realized that there was very little disability inclusion in the Global Education Monitoring Report. And we wrote a letter within the sector to advocate for it to be more disability inclusive. And that's really been a big change within the Global Education Monitoring Report over the past annual editions. And we could see that we even had a report in 2020 that looked at inclusive education. For this Global Education Monitoring Report, my role was to, what I did was bring together some of the people in the disability inclusive education sector to really give comment about how they felt technology impacted the lives of children with disabilities, how it could be useful, what are some of the things we need to really think about when we implement technology in the classroom, because it can be a massive game changer for girls and boys with disabilities in providing them access to information in real time. They can also have access to textbooks in accessible formats, etc.
Ich frage Nafisa Babu, ob der Einsatz von Technologie in Schulen Kinder mit Behinderungen benachteiligen könnte.
You know, there is a big danger that more children and youth with disabilities will be left behind, right? Because technology is quite expensive in most developing countries that we work in. It's often up to 20 or 30% of our annual salary for just buying a smartphone in the countries that Light for the World works in, which is low-income countries like Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, South Sudan, and even more expensive specialized devices. So that does cause, in terms of price point, a challenge because people with disabilities are usually poorest of the poor in many of the communities. It also does pose a challenge in the sense of people who are living in the more rural areas will have less access, way less access to technology than those in urban areas, and also access to connectivity. And then one of the things that we really see as an important thing when you do encourage the use of technology, we need to look at 5 elements. We call it the visionary learning model. You need to look at make sure that students and also teachers have the right equipment that is appropriate, that they have the confidence to use it and get the additional the right training and coaching, that there is accessible content available. Because the format in which a textbook is produced or any learning and teaching material is produced will either inhibit or promote the use of access technology. Then we also need to look at connectivity, making sure that the content that is used is also connected well to the curriculum and follows a universal design for learning way of engaging students in representing incontinent concepts in different formats, and also allows students to express themselves in different ways. Like a student who is hearing impaired might prefer to use more visual content and sign their assignments in sign language. And then lastly, also need to change the culture. There's a real problem, and I think, in our education system, it's probably one of the hardest systems to change. They say it's similar to religious institutions. Very hard, difficult to shift their thinking in around technology. So we see in our programs, even though it's quite known in the disability sector, that there are profound benefits to integrating technology in the curriculum, there's still an aversion to using it amongst teachers.
This year's report, Technology in Education, A Tool in Whose Terms, leads to questions like who produces programs, who produces the tools, and who is also collecting data of the users, possibly. How would you discuss that?
So I think that is a big question. There's a lot of investment, I must say, in developing technology, and not necessarily in making sure that users are proficient and competent in using those technology. And also, I feel there's a great gap, and something we need to do more of is to better give user feedback, especially for users in low and middle income countries in the South. Often these technologies are produced but not tried and tested with the feedback of people with disabilities, sadly. And the user with a disability in maybe Europe versus a user with a disability in a country like South Sudan is different, because they have different levels of digital literacy and exposure to technology. So I feel that there is a big need to insist that producers produce more accessible technologies. And I think for me, the big thing is accessible content. I think about 96% of websites are still inaccessible for screen readers. I mean, this is shameful. We really need to make sure that websites are accessible for people with disabilities to use. The other reality is that most textbooks are not produced in accessible digital format. A PDF is not an accessible format for many. It also has to be well-structured, the document. The gold standard for an accessible book is an accessible EPUB format. And then the person can use it with an EPUB reader, adjust the text, print it into Braille. It has more easy text-to-speech.
Nafisa Babu verweist auf einen weiteren Aspekt im Zusammenhang mit Digitalisierung und Unterricht.
A lot of the producers of technology are producing it in language of the colonizers, so to speak, right? In French, in Portuguese, in English. And there's not enough text-to-speech in local languages. I'm really pleased that there's been a lot of progress in producing text-to-speech now in Amharic and Swahili. These are languages that are spoken a lot in on my continent, but there are so many other local languages we need a synthesized speech for.
To establish SDG number 4, inclusive lifelong learning, for every child around the globe is very expensive. How about the costs? Do you have numbers that you can share with us?
You know, I don't have numbers right away off the top of my head now, but the really thing, putting a price point on human rights is a challenge for me, because I think access to information and technology is a human rights issue. We always think of the cost element, and not we need to change the narrative and see it as an investment in the future, investment in creating a workforce that is fit for the 21st century. And I think that that's more the mindset we should have, not looking at the cost implications. Everything does cost money, right? It's about prioritization, I feel, and there are a lot of devices that are born accessible. In the computer that I'm using at the moment, there are features that Microsoft has embedded that allows text-to-speech, right? That also allows me to change the font size. I'm visually impaired, so that helps me as well to be able to read text. And it can also read my messages out loud. So those are built-in features that people are not aware of that you anyway get with your computer. And most smartphones also have all of these accessible features. And I think that there's been a lot of advocacy around making sure that tech developers look at accessibility more seriously, but there's not enough awareness about this among people with disabilities or within the education system, and they don't actually know how to use it optimally. So I think that is the challenge. So there are things that will always cost money, but we should rather see it as an investment.
Do you know to which stakeholders the Global Education Monitoring Report is spread?
So the Global Education Monitoring Report really is, the audience is decision makers within the education sector. With this report, it really looks a bit wider, right? We're looking at the ministries of ICT as well, and also ministries related to financing, because we're also asking for more investment in this. And I think lots of countries that we know are also looking at how they enhance their digital capacities overall. So I think for this GEM report, has a much more wider audience because of the topic of technology and it being more on the forefront since the pandemic. So I do think that this is this report has a lot bigger and wider audience. It's also geared to help advocates like myself and others working in the education and disability sector, arming us with great data points and giving us a good better understanding of the issues overall, the debates. It's a very neutral report, I think, still. So there are elements that we can all take out there, to use in our advocacy. What I really like is the GEM report is not just one report, right? There are several other pieces that are linked to the GEM report and other briefs, one of which is an advocacy brief on people with disabilities that will be coming out next week. So please, people should watch that space. I think it really brings together good research that has been done in the area around technology for people with disabilities with really useful advocacy messages for us to take forward.
Education is always, of course, also about teaching. In what way does the GEM Report 2023 also address the teachers?
Yes. I think this is the challenge, right? We have to make sure that teachers are digitally competent, firstly. I mean, we have a lot of older population of teachers in sub-Saharan Africa and in general that are not necessarily very tech savvy. But the next step is really helping them to, you know, feel confident about using it within the classroom to optimize learning, to make sure that, you know, showing a YouTube video about a concept really helps students to get an understanding of how whatever concept is being taught can be applied in the real world. There are also wonderful simulations for stem cells about how friction works, how electrical currents work that could be used, right? But the challenge is that often teachers are not yet at that confident level to be able to integrate it within the curriculum. Recently, Light for the World is working with UNESCO in a project to help improve the teachers' competence. It's an ICT competency framework that UNESCO has. We have a project where we are helping and supporting teachers to produce accessible content for learning. That even means making sure they can convert their notes into audio format using open source, freely available technology, using the smartphone that they already have in their hands. We have a set of 10 briefs that look at different ways to produce accessible content for learning and as well as examinations that will be available on the UNESCO website and then can be used over and over again by teachers as a reference because they're lovely in video content format. And this is very much needed. And this is where we are at. We need to develop the competency skills of the teachers, and we also need to provide them with tools or reference tools so they can constantly go back to if they are not feeling very secure, and then coach them in how to use it. One of my colleagues had been in the classroom this week, past 2 weeks, in different parts of Burkina Faso, helping teachers to integrate what they've learned in their own setting. And I think this is really important. It's a long-term process. It's not a three-day workshop. It's a long-term process of coaching, working with teachers, co-designing material with them, and walking that journey with them. So I think this is really fundamental if you want to build up the competencies of teachers and really look at the teacher training institutions as a place where you also need to develop capacities in this area. And there's also a lot of fear about technology, about privacy issues, around children being abused or possibly being caught by phishing. And then there's also a lot of fear, and I think it comes from teachers not being very tech savvy. And I think this is changing, right? I'm very pleased about countries such as Rwanda taking up insisting that teachers are digitally literate. So I think if we look at some of these five elements, the kit, content, connectivity, confidence, and culture, we can really reduce or narrow the gap in terms of the digital divide. But there are literally, real challenges in terms of price point and also in terms of awareness about what is out there.
Sona Fisababu. Zur selben Frage sagt Francesca Endrizzi.
Also der Bericht hat einen Abschnitt über Lernkräfte. Lehrkräfte sind, sie spielen eine wichtige Rolle natürlich in der Bildung. Technologie hat den Beruf der Lernkraft beeinflusst. Wir haben das also auch mit Corona schon gesehen. Was war sehr erstaunlich, also laut Thales Surveys, Teaching and Learning International Survey, nur 43% der Lehrkräfte geben an, dass sie sich nicht vorbereiten wollten, um diese digitalen Medien im Unterricht einzusetzen. Das war vor Corona. Also wir können uns schon gut vorstellen, die Herausforderungen, die sie hatten. Und auf einer Seite sind Lernkräfte verantwortlich, um auch diese Technologie zu benutzen, aber auf der anderen Seite sind nicht dabei und nicht immer dabei, wenn diese Entscheidung, welche Technologie auszuwählen, getroffen sind. Und das ist klar ein Problem. Technologie, es ist auch eine Gelegenheit, also auch für alle Erwachsenen, also mehr für Erwachsene. Sie können Zugang zu mehreren Trainings zum Beispiel, Möglichkeiten und Trainingsprogramme für professionellen Weiterentwicklung haben.
Wird das Bildungsziel der UNO, das SDG Nummer 4 bis 2030, verwirklicht werden? Dazu Francesca Endrizzi.
Leider ist es schon klar, dass es wäre sehr schwierig, diese Bildungsziele zu erreichen, besonders vor einigen Ländern. Also das sage ich nicht, das ist schon bekannt. Es gibt genug Dateien und Informationen. Also das Problem ist es, wie können wir diese Informationen benutzen, um nützliche und Politiken einzusetzen, zu entwickeln. Über Technologie zum Beispiel. Technologie kann ein Werkzeug, um auch die Bildungsziele zu erreichen. Aber es ist nur ein. Es ist nicht nur das Einzelne. Und wie ich auch in meiner Präsentation schon gesagt habe, kann man also diese Ziele auch ohne Technologie erreichen. Das war klar, besonders hier in Europa. Und die reichsten Länder haben schon auch große Fortschritte gemacht, auch ohne Technologie. Aber klar, das ist ein manchmal kann auch eine Rettungslinie sein und ein Mittel, also das, die Frage sollte sein, wie können wir dieses Mittel am besten benutzen.
Sagt Francesca Endrizzi von Licht für die Welt, die am GEM-Report 2023 mitgearbeitet hat. Von ihr noch einmal zu ihrer Kollegin Nafisa Babu, der Expertin für inklusive Bildung.
What consequences or what next steps have to be taken to reach SDG number 4 by 2030?
For me, the biggest next step is that we really need to invest more in education. I feel that there's lots of shrinking of funding towards education, even from donor governments, so to speak, because of the challenges that we have. So we have the war in the Ukraine. Lots of us are still recovering from the shock of the pandemic. But the reality is that shrinking funding to education has adverse consequences for the future of our society. So I do think that there really needs to be a lot more investment and strategic investment in making sure that whichever investment in education there is truly addresses the needs are people with disabilities, not one group of people with disabilities, because they are not an homogenous group. We need to make sure that all people with disabilities are reached in every education program, and it should be mandatory. And I really hope that we could take this as a countries such as Austria and others in the European Union really need to make that bold step in saying disability inclusion is a must in any funded program by the EU, by Austria, particularly in education. This will make a massive change in our sector, and I really hope that this happens.
Das war C3 Radio. Heute zum Global Education Monitoring Report 2023, der am 23. November im C3 präsentiert worden ist. Abschließende Hinweise. Der GEM-Report kann auf der folgenden Website abgerufen werden. gem-report-2023.unesco.org. Ein Veranstaltungstipp. Am 7. Dezember 2023 veranstaltet die C3-Bibliothek in der Sensengasse 3 eine Living Library für Schülerinnen im Alter von 14 bis 19 Jahren zum folgenden Thema: Zukunft nachhaltig und gerecht. Informationen dazu und zu allen Angeboten im C3, etwa zur C3-Bibliothek, gibt es auf www.zentrum3.at. Folgen Sie C3 Radio und der ÖFSE bitte auch auf Facebook. Auf Wiederhören sagt Jürgen Planck. C3 Radio aus dem Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung. Mit den Organisationen Baobab, Frauensolidarität, Mattersburger Kreis, ÖFSE und Paulo Freire Zentrum. Weitere Informationen und Podcast auf www.zentrum3.at.